We're just standing at the site of where the dairy is going to be constructed on Juniper Lee. It's a central site to minimise cow walking. Not the most ideal site, but we've had to build up quite a bit of height to get drainage away. Yeah, being central on the farm is quite important on these larger herd operations, just to minimise that walking factor.
And the Rotary Dairy, it's behind us, semi-unloaded out of a 40-foot shipping container.
Yeah, it always amazes me. That's a 60-bale rotary. It's come from New Zealand. It's a GEA milking machine and rotary. And somehow they managed to pack everything into a 40-foot container except for the concrete of the platform. I don't know how they do it, but it's all there.
Tell me about the history of this property. What you had to do to get it to this point?
Originally, the property was owned by Jeff Terry, or even Ned Terry's dad, and it was an ex-piggery. And then Rob Terry, Jeff's son, he purchased the property and he sold it on to us. Rob was cropping and running dairy adjustment. We were fortunate enough that there was another ex-plantation block adjacent to the property that we was able to purchase, and that gave us enough area to justify, yeah, the cost of the cow shed. And so we're probably in a position where the farm can milk over time 1,000+ cows, and for better or for worse, that seems to be about where you need to be to actually justify the cost of a new cow shed now.
What else has gone in?
We've done quite a bit of fencing and put in stock water. At the moment, we're a fair way ahead on the roading, which is good while it's still dry. We've got 5 pivots to put on the place, so we start laying pipes probably next week, and at the moment the guys are working on putting in about 60 hectares of solid set.
Is that your biggest outlay in terms of the civil construction?
Yeah, irrigation would be, yes. Yeah, that would exceed even the cost of it'd be about on par with the cost of the cow shed. Looking forward, we're close to starting the shed build. In fact, over there they're just unloading the first of the shed components. And we've got a calf shed, a workshop to complete. The other thing that we've done on the new block that we bought, the ex-plantation block, is we've done a lot of underground drainage with Greg Gibson. It's been quite a wet block, and I'm very, very much in favour of actually draining the ground before you put a pivot on it. As somebody pointed out, if you're running pivots over wet ground, you end up putting rock in the ground to get the pivots around in the ruts. So someone suggested, well, you might as well put the rock over top of underground drainage pipes and you'll use about the same amount of rock and get a better result.
So what is the average rainfall here at Dairy Plains where this farm is located?
It's around 1,000 mils, or just over 1,000 mils, so it's actually quite good rainfall. The irrigation setup's around a 6 or 7 mil pack on the pivots, and we'd expect to use about in an average year between 4 to 4.5 megalitres a hectare for irrigating pastures.
And you're drawing from dams on the farm?
Yeah, there's a dam on the farm. We've got some TI water out of their meander scheme. We've been fortunate enough to find some good bore water as well on the property. So it's a combination of things, and we're linking those together and integrating those into the overall irrigation setup.
So when will you start working on these pastures that need to get underway really before the cows come on?
So there's quite a bit of pasture renovation to be done. Actually, I was just talking about this yesterday, and we'll probably start very early. We've had some good rains, and we'd like to get a lot of ground down and consolidated before the cows start calving. So this year, I think, within the next week or two, we'll be into it.
So you'll be getting a manager in to eventually run this property. Who owns it essentially? It's a different setup to all your other conversions that you've done in the last couple of years.
Basically, the ownership's around individuals, but in this one, two of our other farms that they've actually put in for the ownership a share in this farm, and then there's another individual who's grain farmer from New South Wales. He's decided to spread his risks and invest down here as well. So in the past it's been individuals into one farm. Here we've got these individuals that are already involved with our farms are basically having another go. So much of it hangs around the manager of the operation, and we're putting good support systems in place to help them We're helping young guys make a start, mentoring them into management roles, which seems to be working very well. I think managers excel when they're actually able to express their own passions and expertise and basically take ownership of the business. And that's really what we like to see, is that manager's actually responsible for the business.
So what's your thinking around the confidence of investors in the dairy industry in Tasmania? Do you see projects of this size and scale coming online in the next couple of years?
Yeah, it's an interesting time. We've just gone through a period of a hike in land prices. So for farm conversions, by the time you're buying the land now, and then you're looking at the capital infrastructure you have to add to that, in a lot of cases it's getting a little bit marginal, but there's certainly an appetite for investment. I'd have to say within our management group, we've got more investors than we've got farms that we can identify as suitable investments.
Does it make sense then to pool your resources rather than just an individual investor going out and doing the conversion on their own?
I mean, that's up to each person. We're talking a farm set up like this, we're talking many millions of dollars. Not everyone's got many millions of dollars. And not everybody wants to be hands-on as well, but they want to actually be part of the industry. So we're providing that avenue where people can actually invest, take an interest, because it's their farm, but they don't have to be there for the day-to-day and the management and the issues and stuff that comes up.
Yeah, dairy consultant John Wilson managing a new dairy conversion on the property, Juniper Lee at Dairy Plains, talking there to Larissa Smith. Well, John Wilson was also involved in another dairy conversion in Meander around about 5 years ago. That farm, Clear Springs, is managed by Tim and Fiona Salter, and they took out the Dairy Business of the Year in 2019. The pair started milking 900 cows and have now grown the herd to 1,200. They say having input into the conversion early on was really helpful.
John was keeping me in the loop. I have had quite a bit of experience in driving machinery, so I've more or less come on as the excavator driver and cleared a lot of the trees, cleared a lot of the fence lines, and did a lot of the infrastructure work. We didn't have much stock on, so I just looked after the stock that was here. And as things progressed, John bounced some ideas off of me, what would suit me long-term, where things went. And it was great to have some input from the word go and just work with John, but mainly John had control, he had all the headaches. And I virtually was just a labourer and talked to him through things with him as we went along.
Because it requires a lot of patience, even before the cows arrive, and in those preceding first couple of years before you get those pastures really established in a conversion process.
As you know, as you work ground up, sow a lot of new pastures, you have a lot of soft ground. So the first 6 months was very touch and go with not trying to damage new pastures, and it was 18 months before the soil really settled and the pressure come off and we got some pastures established well. It's a slow game in that first bit when you sow so much of the farm down in the first, because I think we sowed at least 80-85% of the farm down before we started milking, so we didn't have much firm ground to start with.
And I guess the same goes for your herd. It takes a while to build up the herd and their productivity on the pasture that they're grazing onto.
Yeah, and when you're trying to establish a new herd, you're buying cows in from many places, so they're not always an established genetic pool. So we've been working with some great New Zealand crossbred genetics to try and really get a consistent crossbred cow for the herd, so they seem to be doing really well, so it's starting to pay off. Yeah,
we had some goals and some expectations of getting close to that 500,000 milk solids as profitably as we could, or close to 460 milk solids a cow, and to have healthy, happy cows and to have a good working environment and look after the farm and the environment as we went. And we pretty much got there within 3 seasons. And now we're just, the last season and this season, we are just fine-tuning everything now. We've got a reasonably established herd. We're culling less animals for different things. We've got less young stock coming in, so not quite as many of them falling out. Yeah, it's just about fine-tuning and keeping. We budget and change how we do things on a season-to-season price influences, like our milk price for a start, then grain inputs, and what the actual season's doing, how much supplements we can purchase at the right price. And we base our numbers on that. It's not wholly solely, this is the number, this is what we're going for. As you'll get a wet season and you'll get a dry season, and you just got to manage it best you can.
And as managers, have your responsibilities or your roles changed since that first year with the corporate structure that's been set up?
For the first couple of years, we were employed on a management basis. So we were employed by Clear Springs and we oversaw the farm, but we didn't have any cost responsibilities from that. And then in the third season, we went on to a share farming agreement. So we have taken on the responsibility of some plant and all of the staff. So they're all employed by us now, and we're on a cents per kilogram basis payment.
Contract milkers is what you would call us, and a share of profit. So it seems to work well. It just gives you a little bit more incentive to, when you're doing a really good job, to get some, reap some more benefits from that. As time progresses, we just keep working towards looking after the staff and ourselves and the farm best we can.
The capital that you're making off that shared farm arrangement, are you reinvesting that into the farm or another property? How does that work?
Yeah, so we do try to increase our assets in some beef cross animals, so we do run them off farm just on an adjustment basis, because it sort of takes some pressure off us, but we're sort of growing the asset at the same time.
What's your advice to other farmers or investors who are thinking about going down the path of converting a new farm to dairy?
You've got to have some patience. You've got to put quite a bit of time into planning. Planning is key to having a good infrastructure and not having to spend money twice. There's no good in setting something up and then having to tear it down and move it because you haven't put it in the right place. Planning is gold. Sourcing stock for the farm, you've got to try and source as best stock you can for the money you've got available to you at the time. Yeah, just be patient in the first couple of years. Like it's really the third season before things settle down and life becomes a bit easier on a new conversion farm.
Yeah, some good advice there from Tim and Fiona Salter from Clear Springs Dairy at Meander, talking to Larissa Smith about their experience with taking on a dairy conversion a few years ago from beef, and they took out the Dairy Business of the Year in 2019. So they certainly know what they're talking about there.